Jesus Christ, King of heaven with glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the Jews, "If I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is not true. But there is another who testifies on my behalf, and I know that the testimony he gives on my behalf is true. You sent emissaries to John, and he testified to the truth. I do not accept human testimony, but I say this so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and for a while you were content to rejoice in his light. But I have testimony greater than John's. The works that the Father gave me to accomplish, these works that I perform, testify on my behalf that the Father has sent me. Moreover, the Father who sent me has testified on my behalf. But you have never heard his voice nor seen his form, and you do not have his word remaining in you, because you do not believe in the one whom he has sent. You search the scriptures, because you think you have eternal life through them. Even they testify on my behalf. But you do not want to come to me to have life. I do not accept human praise. Moreover, I know that you do not have the love of God in you. I came in the name of my Father, but you do not accept me. Yet if another comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe when you accept praise from one another and you do not seek the praise that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who will accuse you is Moses, in whom you have placed your hope. For if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, because he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writing, how will you believe my words?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we continue Jesus' disputation in the temple with the scribes and the leaders of the Jews, who, after the healing of the man who was crippled for 38 years on the Sabbath, were thinking that he was working these acts of charity in violation of God's law of love, that there was a furlough on love of neighbor, and every Sabbath God would take a day off from loving his children, and that we're likewise supposed to take a day off. On the day of the Lord, that is the day we're not supposed to be charitable to others. And because of their rigidity with regard to their own interpretation of the third commandment, they were seeking to break the fifth commandment and murder Jesus. Just its whole retreat on its own, in terms of the way some of the times little things can become so much bigger than the big things. Jesus would say to them elsewhere that we focus on gnats whereas we're swallowing camels. Ultimately, what we were dealing with here is a question of faith, and this is why it's right in this section of Lent in which we're preparing catechumens, now elect, for baptism, in which we're renewing the commitments of our own baptism. And this is a time to grow in faith, to really focus on the gifts that God has given us to help us to grow in faith, just like he's helping the elect. When they're accusing Jesus of working these miracles by the power of Beelzebub, he comes and he says, "You have five great reasons to trust me." And for each of us, these are five reasons for us to grow in our faith in the Lord. The first is the testimony of John the Baptist. John was that great Elijah whom they were expecting to point out the Messiah when he came. Everybody, Jesus says, was content to go out and bask in the light of John, to have a real prophet in their own age that they could actually approach and converse with. And after everybody from the Transjordan to Galilee to Jerusalem was going out to see John. John finally pointed out and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." But after basking in John's light, they didn't want to see the laser beam of light pointing from him to the light of the world. Jesus was once queried by the people in the temple area about in whose name he was doing miracles, and he said, "I will answer that question after you ask me this. Was John's baptism, was John's work from God or from another source?" And they refused to answer, because they knew what John's answer was. And to accept John's testimony is to accept the one about whom he testified. And they just didn't want to do it. For us, do we accept John's testimony, especially in Lent? "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Do we really approach that Lamb with that gratitude and grow in faith because of the witness of John's pointing to Christ? The second great witness we have, Jesus says, are his works. "I have a testimony greater than John's," he says, "the works that the Father gave me to accomplish. These works that I perform testify on my behalf that the Father has sent me." It's only God who can really do this. And Jesus' miracles were a checklist straight out of the messianic prophecies, straight out of what Isaiah said the anointed one would do when at last he came in Isaiah 61. Jesus was doing it. The lame were walking. Saw that earlier this week. The blind were seeing. We saw that on Sunday. The deaf were hearing. The ill were being cured. The dead were being raised. All of this was testifying that the Father had sent him. Because if he weren't doing it by the power of Beelzebul, the finger of God was upon him. These works, again, the Jews didn't want to accept, or the Jewish leaders. John uses the expression Jews. We need to be somewhat sensitive in the days post Nostra Aetate to be specific. There were some of the Jews like Mary and Joseph and the apostles and Mary Magdalene and others who totally accepted the witness that was given. But these works, including the one that Jesus did of this cripple, have revelatory value. God the Father, who works still, was working full time in order to heal. And all of these miracles were pointing to the recreation of the world that Christ had come to accomplish. The leaders of the Jews would later even try to dispute God's greatest work of all. When they asked for a sign, Jesus said no sign would be given except the sign of Jonah. And when Jesus rose from the belly of the earth on the third day, they tried to bribe guards to say that his disciples came while they were asleep and couldn't know what was happening in order to steal the body of Jesus. A ridiculous thing that nevertheless spread about because it was some type of excuse to say that the good news was fake news. What about us? All the miracles that the Lord has done, including the extraordinary miracles that are involved in every cause for canonization, types of things that we're still reading about, do we accept this testimony that God is still here? Does it form a premise for our growth in faith about how much the Lord continues to do so that we can put out further into the deep in our own prayer asking for that God of miracles to continue to show his compassion in that way? Third witness Jesus describes is Moses. He said, "The one who will accuse you is Moses, in whom you have placed your hope. For if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, because he wrote about me." Moses' whole life was a type pointing to Jesus. Moses went up on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. It was a prophetic act pointing to Jesus going up on the Sermon on the Mount and giving us the new law. When Moses led the Jews through the Passover into the Promised Land, it was a foretelling of what Jesus would do for all of us through the sea of death into eternal life. But Moses spoke specifically about the one who would to come, one who would come. In Deuteronomy 18:15, he said, "One will come after me from among your own brethren. Listen to him. Another one like me will come after me." And when that one did come, they were not listening. Because again, in Hebrew, Shema means both to hear, hear, O Israel, as well as to obey. And they were hearing the syllables coming from this Nazarene carpenter's mouth, but refusing to obey because they weren't receiving it in faith. For us, as we go through what is given to us in the breviary, for example, during... Do you read the office reading? Yeah, you do read the office reading. When we read about what's happening in the life of Moses throughout this Lenten season, is it a means for us to grow in faith, to base our faith even more firmly in what God has done in history, so that we recognize that the same God who liberated the Jews is still alive and helping us at every moment? Do we grow in faith? Do we take advantage of it? As we prepare catechumens, we take them through the Old Testament. But as we go through the Old Testament and we see how everything points to Jesus, do our hearts begin to burn as we recognize that everything was foretold came true? And because of that, everything that Jesus has promised will likewise come true. Fourth witness. Are the scriptures. Jesus says, "You search the scriptures because you think you have eternal life through them, and they testify on my behalf." All of sacred scripture pointed to the traits of the Messiah. There are over 1,000 verses in the Old Testament that point to Jesus as he comes. They just didn't want to accept the overwhelming testimony of the scriptures about what the Messiah would be like when at last he would come, what he would do, where he would come from, all the rest of it. As Jesus said with regard to Moses, "But if you do not believe Moses' writings, how will you believe my words?" Jesus says the same thing here about sacred scripture. If you're not placing your faith in what scripture attests to, how are you going to believe me? We remember that scene at the end of the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, when Lazarus begs, "Father Abraham, send them to my brothers so that they don't come to the same place of torment. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to him. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham, but if somebody goes from the dead, then they will believe." He says, no, if they're not putting faith in Moses and the prophets, they're still going to doubt even should someone rise from the dead. For us, are the scriptures playing more of a role as we hear these readings throughout the Lent? Let's not even talk about adding extra stuff. When we hear these readings over the course of our Lenten pilgrimage, are we listening to them anew? Are we listening to them better, more deeply than we have in the past? Are we hanging on them more? Are we allowing those words to take on our flesh? Are we basically saying, let my whole life develop in accordance with this word? Sacred scripture is an extraordinary font of faith growth. And a lot of the times we as Catholics, including we Catholic priests and Catholic religious, don't grow as much as we could, precisely because we don't get to know Christ through scripture as well as we might. And the fifth and the last witness is the greatest of all. The Father who sent me has testified on my behalf. But you have never heard his voice nor seen his form, and you do not have his word remaining in you, because you do not believe in the one whom he has sent. The Father has testified. They didn't hear his voice. The voice that spoke at Jesus' baptism, "This is my Son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." They didn't hear the Father's voice on Mount Tabor when he said, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." They won't hear his voice on Holy Thursday where he says, "I have glorified it," meaning his name, "and I will glorify it again." But more than that, they're not really hearing the Father in prayer. Same Father who spoke, for example, to Peter to reveal to him that Jesus was the Messiah and the Son of God, for flesh and blood hadn't revealed that to him. They weren't listening to in prayer. They were tuning him out because they thought they had it all figured out and this carpenter from Nazareth was going to be put into this box of a blasphemer rather than the fulfillment of everything. And they would refuse continuously to listen to the voice of the Father as they would drown out the Father's whisper by their cacophonous cries for Jesus' crucifixion. And the reason why they weren't listening to the Father, Jesus says, is because they were not believing in the one whom he has sent. To really stake their whole life on Jesus. This is eternal life, he would say, that they know you, Father, and know the one that you have sent. The faith that leads to eternal life comes from this type of trusting knowledge. And they weren't willing to pray because they were not willing to get another answer other than the one that they already had. For us, how well are we listening to the testimony of the Father? The testimony of the Father about the Son, and the testimony that the Son gives about the Father. One of the most important for us to do in this Lenten season is the 15th chapter of St. John. "Just as the Father loves me," which is an extraordinary testimony about the Father, "so I love you." Today, as we come forward, the Lord wants to give us an increase in faith, and he gives us these five witnesses. He gives us the witness of John the Baptist. He gives us the witness of his works, the witness of Moses, the witness of sacred scripture, the witness of the Father's own voice, so that our faith might grow, that Jesus' life in us might grow, so that we will become a sixth witness for the world, that God is still alive, and that a life of faith not just is worth it, but is full of joy and is beautiful. Today, as we come forward to receive Jesus, we recognize that all of these sources testify to what we're about to do. That John the Baptist pointed Jesus out as the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And we will hear those very words at Mass. The greatest of all Jesus' continued works is the way that he seeks to sanctify through giving us his body and blood. Moses in the Passover points to this new and eternal Passover, the new and eternal covenant. Sacred Scripture testifies to this. All the Old Testament prophecies of the Holy Eucharist, not to mention Jesus' words in St. John's Gospel about eating his flesh and drawing his blood. And the Father likewise testifies as he gives us his Son, his beloved, in whom he is well pleased, telling us to listen to him as he says, "This is my body, this is my blood given for you." Let us ask the Father who gives this witness to grant us the gift of faith so that our whole life might be an amen and a fiat to what we do here. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen. Forever.